This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, Teen Creeps listeners, Kelly here, and before we start the show, I have to alert all of my theme park fans, all of my roller coaster obsessives, all of my carnival-loving, thrill-seeking freaks of nature that there is a podcast made just for them. It's called Podcast The Ride, and now you can listen to it right here on the Forever Dog Podcast Network. You might be familiar with Podcast The Ride already, because we've had two of the three hosts, Mike Carlson and Jason Sheridan, as guests on this very podcast. But if you're new to Podcast The Ride, here's what's going on. The three hosts, Mike, Jason, and Scott Gardner, are theme park know-it-alls who do incredible deep dives on your favorite rides and parks with your favorite comedians like Jeff Garlin, Paul Scheer, John Daly, and many more. And now is the perfect time to start listening because this Friday, September 14th, Podcast The Ride is launching their sure-to-be-legendary 19-day, 19-episode-long exploration of Hollywood's Universal City Walk. That's 19 episodes in 19 days. Podcast The Ride is hilarious, nostalgic, full of heart, and full of the roller coaster insight you didn't even know you needed in your life. So subscribe to Podcast The Ride right now at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And now, on with the show.
Forever Dog.
Some loves are meant to be. Others are cursed. This week on the podcast, Cami Garcia and Margaret Stoll's Beautiful Creatures with art by Cassandra Jean.
Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast about YA Pulp Fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay K. Tai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Callie Nugent. And today we are joined by a wonderful, very special guest. We chose this book because he has a comic book coming out. You may know it as Hexwives from DC Vertigo.
Kelly, you are watching
this. Yeah, no, listen, here's the thing.
I mean, this sounds like me giving an intro.
Everyone thought that I was you.
They were like, oh, is that Lindsay? Because it sounds like a terrible Lindsay intro.
He is the creator and host of the Writers Panel here on Forever Dog. He is the co-creator of Thrilling Adventure Hour and also TV. We have with
us. He co-created TV.
He co-created TV. He is 400 years old. I don't know how old TV is. TV was introduced in 1236.
All right, give me that phone, Kelly.
We have writer Ben Blacker here with us. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm going to just go ahead and repeat the why we chose this book.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Why were we tricked into choosing this book?
Yeah, we all, none of us felt good about this
Thank
choice.
You for having me on your very first podcast.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
We've actually, this
is a little, it's funny though, because we have done over 100.
But, over 100 episodes, but it does seem like this is the first time we've ever talked to each other.
Or to a guest.
Yeah.
I understand if I make you nervous. I'm podcast royalty.
You are.
I get it.
Yeah. I mean, you kept emailing us that you were podcast royalty.
Right.
And I kind of negged you by not including that in your intro. Because I'm alpha.
But thank you for bringing the crown.
Oh, of course. You look great wearing it.
Yeah. And I like that you asked for a tiara.
Yeah. It's daintier. It's prettier.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's shiny.
Because a crown is like ostentatious.
Yeah. And it's very aggressive.
This is a subtle. Exactly. A crown's too aggressive.
Yeah.
Too aggressive. Mm-hmm. But actually, to me, you are podcast royalty.
I think you are.
To Writer's Panel for
Is that
so
right?
So long. Yeah. I would listen to it and go, so sweet. It's possible to be a writer. This is a real job. People do this.
Yeah.
And then you saw that I kept doing it and we're like, oh, maybe this guy will never be a writer. And so maybe it won't happen for me either.
Thank
you. That's very nice. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm always glad to know that other people give a shit.
Yeah.
It's always nice to know that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just nice to hear those smart, funny people talk.
Sure.
And know that it's a real job, and it's inspirational.
Agreed. And people can find it right here on Forever Dog Network.
Yeah, that was smooth.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, proof that you are, in fact.
You're the grandfather of podcasting.
Yes, Jesus. Me and Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah, you and Jimmy.
Jim.
So
we're doing this book.
Beautiful Creatures, the manga, if you're...
What
fancy.
Did I say? If you're a white guy with swords on your wall?
Trying to say manga. And we chose that because you have a comic book coming out in October. Is that correct?
It's out on Halloween.
Yay! Sweet. Favorite holiday.
Right? Yeah. The best one.
I love Halloween. Yay.
Yeah.
Do you do something for Halloween? I had this long conversation with my wife and some other folks last night about dressing up for Halloween and dressing up as an adult.
Yeah.
Or being an adult dressing up.
I like to dress up as an adult. Yeah, I like to dress up for Halloween. But I also, this year, I think I'm either going to go to Salem or to Sleepy Hollow, New York.
Cool.
Are you going to be in that part of the country?
No, I'm going there for it.
That's amazing. Have you ever been to Salem?
No.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I hear it's very cool. And I'm very into like creepy, witchy type stuff. If you could describe me, I'm if you're going to pick movies that are like me, it's like Practical Magic mixed with The Craft.
Yeah.
But then also like
The Shining.
Like only the parts where like he's freezing to death.
Or there's blood coming out of an alley.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I hope you do that. I think Sleepy Hollow, that part of New York it's kind of boring.
Oh, really?
Mm. I went to school at Syracuse and I had family up there.
So you're been there, done that.
Yeah. But I grew up in Massachusetts and even having grown up there and been to Salem a bunch of times, like it's really neat. The history of it is really cool. And they've done a great job sort of bringing it to the present conversation too.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a stain on our history. I'm not familiar.
Isn't Salem just the name of the cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Meow, meow.
That's all I know of it.
Yeah, it's a whole town dedicated to that fictional cat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's
also
the town
my
is
speed
named
as well.
After
very
the cat,
into cats.
Right? But yeah, you have a comic book coming out on Halloween called Hex Wives.
I do. And it's about witches.
And
it's
about
right
witches.
Up your alley.
Yay! Yeah.
So that is why we chose specifically Beautiful Creatures, the manga. Since I'm white, I'll just give in to that.
So this is, I didn't realize this, not to, you know, get ahead of it.
No, go
Shanghai
for it.
Your podcast, but this is an adaptation of an existing novel.
Correct.
Which I did not realize.
I did not know that until this moment.
Yeah, it's a novel. They made a movie out of it and then they made a manga.
Okay, so I saw the novel and I was like, unrelated. And then bought the manga.
That's what I thought about the movie, which I realized after finishing, I have seen. It rang no bell.
Really? So the whole time you're like, what an interesting, different story than anything I've ever consumed. Wait, so, okay, the movie then, does it end like where this ends or is it like part of the, you have no idea.
I could not tell you.
Han Solo
is in it.
Yeah. He is?
He's the boy.
But I only discovered that later.
He's the boy.
This is, does not bode well for this book. Do not remember his name.
Ethan.
Thank you.
Ethan
it's
and
only
Lena,
his name.
Right?
Ethan Waite. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And then Lena is the girl, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a bad choice. I think
this is the thing. I don't feel bad about it. I think we can make it work. And also,
I have no fears for this being a good episode, but I was like, I so wish I was reading the book instead of this.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
So here's my question. I feel like we can attack this on several levels.
Yes. Yeah.
But my first question is, this is not a Teen Creeps book.
No.
This falls outside the scope of what this show is. And which guys know I've told you on Twitter I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you. It's really nice to hear
Thank
that.
You.
It's
yeah.
great. But this is not the usual kind of thing you do. And I think the novel would be a little closer, but it's still not right.
It isn't because, oh shit, when was this written?
It's late.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That's the main thing that makes it not a Teen Creeps book, but we did Twilight.
Right.
So every now and then we'll venture out into a newer book. And this is about witches, and there is a romance. So like this certainly covers things that we talk about. So if we're reading the book, it totally would have been
prose novel.
But reading the manga, I was like, fuck, I don't want to read this. It's so difficult for me.
Was it really?
Yeah. Why? Well, because I don't read comic books or graphic novels.
Okay.
So switching around, my brain just doesn't like having to try to take care of the visuals and the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And also I miss the narrative aspect. Mm-hmm. Like I want to see what the language, like I'm just, so now I want to read the novel because I'm very curious about what the voice of the book is.
Me too. And I've read comics by Margaret Stahl.
Oh, really?
And I think I've met her. She may have even been on the writer's panel at one point.
Oh, my God.
I've done a lot of episodes. I can't really remember.
Yeah. But, 400, right?
Yeah. But I've at least met her, and like her comics are great, and it does make me curious about what her prose writing is like, because this book was a huge success.
The book or this manga?
The novel.
The book.
The mangas, I don't know.
I don't know either. And I will actually tell you, Lindsay, I do read comics and graphic novels. And yet I had some trouble like understanding
what was happening
or like I felt like some of the picture or the, and this is not to say, I don't want to diss Cassandra Jean at all. Illustrating is a very difficult thing to do. And I think it takes the place often of like the prose where it's like, this is what's happening. This is the feel, this is the mood, whatever. But there were many times where I would see a panel and I would be like, I don't know what is happening or what I'm supposed to feel or like what, like it was very confusing. Mm-hmm. And I do read comics and graphic novels. So that was a little bit of a challenge. And so I imagine if you don't ever, I was like, you must be completely not knowing what's going on.
It was a lot of work for my brain. Honestly. I was like, oh, okay, which panel am I supposed to be reading? So like things would be given away because I'd read the wrong panel, and then I'd backtrack to see how we got there.
Oh, because you were looking at the wrong
one. Oh, he saved her. I was like, okay, so I'm going to go back and figure out what he was saving her from. So
I think that Halloween thing also.
I was like, what the fuck? Is this real? I thought he was having a dream. We can get to that.
But that's interesting.
As somebody who's written comic books, how did you feel about the layout of this?
I agree that it was, I think she's got toned down, and there's a lot of it I really liked, especially in the first half, where you don't have to follow a lot of action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the action scenes were hard.
Yeah, but I find that hard anyway. Like, my brain just doesn't work that way, and I tend to sort of gloss over action stuff in comics. I think it was a tough story to tell this. I also don't read manga, which I know is sort of
me too. That might be its own thing.
Yeah. So there was a lot of that in here. And there was stuff I liked that I think was ported over from manga. Like when they say there's a sound effect of a thing that's happening, like hug.
Yeah, like, I like that too. Or like what?
That is
like, I liked that a lot. And it reminded me a lot of like anime, which I do consume. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, I consume it. So I was like, oh, this is, because I literally have not ever read manga, ever, ever.
Me either.
So I was like, oh, I see how like
the stylistic differences. And
yeah. And the art style was a little like at times anime-ish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially,
I felt like it was way anime, like especially him.
The drawings of Uncle Macon.
Oh, yeah. I thought for sure that a young Japanese girl was going to get raped by that dude.
Oh.
Was there a Japanese girl in this story?
No, he just looks like that. Like, have you ever, there's this movie called Unico that's an anime, and there's this real creepy.
Their sizes are weird. You can get free tailoring. Yeah,
they're perfect for me.
Not the same thing.
Oh, really?
It's not the same thing. Okay.
I don't know what you're getting at.
Okay. Where there's this really creepy section where this magical unicorn boy turns a kitty into a girl, and then a dude who looks exactly like that kidnaps her and roofies her. So that's why I was feeling that way.
Then they really did the job of making that guy creepy for you.
I felt it very strongly. But Ethan, he's got like super anime hair.
He has anime hair.
Anime clothes.
Wait, do we know what color his hair is? Because like we have some...
There are two pages
brown,
in color.
Boring.
I wanted more pages in color.
I did too.
Yeah. Because that's when everything started to get really confusing for me.
On page five.
Yeah.
Well, so...
I'm not even kidding. And I welcome you making fun of me. But I was like, I can't make out the lines, or they're shading, or like, okay, they're reading each other's minds. Well,
yeah, it asks you to understand the difference between a word balloon and this sort of other, like this.
When they're telepathically.
Yeah.
Which I thought it did pretty well, because her telepathy was coming through in black background. Mm-hmm. His was gray background. And then all the spoken words were in a.
Right.
No background.
Yeah. Right. But it was sometimes hard to tell who they belonged to, who the tail belonged to.
Yes. That was the hardest thing, is the tails were all over the place.
Yeah.
And that might be, I have found in my limited comic book writing experience, an editor problem. It's like, that's the kind of thing that the editor should look out for, because they're really there for clarity.
Right.
You know, the best thing,
like
about,
an editor.
The best and worst thing about comics is that it's such a direct collaboration. There are so few people involved. You know, it's the writer and the artist, and then the colorist and the letterer, overseen by the editor, who's there to sort of make sure everybody's working well together.
And they all have a like super large part of communicating the story.
It's the voice of several people, unlike a movie, which is like hundreds of people.
Anyway, that makes sense. Kelly, would you like to read the inside jacket of the book?
Oh, yeah, because she got library bound.
Library bound.
Nice.
There were no surprises in Gatlin County. At least that's what I thought. Turns out I couldn't have been more wrong. There was a curse. There was a girl. And in the end, there was a grave.
Exactly, okay, as intended.
Ethan Waite, who has been counting the months until he can escape from Gatlin, is haunted by dreams of a beautiful girl he's never met. How did we say her last name?
Oh, I...
Dushan?
I'll buy
Duquesne?
That.
Duquesne?
I like Dushan.
I feel like Dushan is like Frenchy, and they're kind of.
Should we
like,
go watch the movie right now?
Honestly, I turned on the movie partly to find out what the fuck.
What streaming service is it on?
Netflix.
Great, I'll watch it. Is it good? It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay, great.
It received mixed reviews according to Wikipedia.
Oh, cool, cool.
I skimmed through it because mostly I just. So we're talking about how difficult it was to follow action. I was like, I'm just going to dip in and watch those action scenes, figure out what the fuck.
Was it a fairly direct translation?
My guess is it's a more accurate translation of the book.
Oh, okay.
But there were some weird changes from the comic book that I'm, again, very curious
we
as
need
to
an
which
expert
had it right. I know. We need to have Margaret on and the other.
Cammy Garcia.
Garcia. And why don't we just bring in Cassandra Jean, too?
Explain herself.
Explain herself.
Hey, Cassandra, what were these bubbles?
So when Lena Dushan, a girl unlike anyone Jackson High has ever seen, moves into the town's oldest and most infamous plantation, Ethan is inexplicably drawn to her and determined to uncover the connection between them. In a town with no surprises, one secret could change everything. This atmospherically illustrated adaptation, blah, 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 no one cares, because that's talking about whatever, and we're done.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Okay,
we'll
have you on again.
This out.
Because I didn't realize that he lived on a plantation, although I guess I should have from what it looked like.
Yeah. And the flashback.
The flashback stuff, okay.
I
have questions for you guys about... Did any of you guys feel icky when they were like doing the flashbacks?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean because they're Confederate?
Yeah, because they're fucking Confederate, and then it's
for
like
a lot of reasons.
Yeah, they're Confederate. They make a slave help them.
Yeah,
they but then it's like supposed to be like, oh, but she cares about the slaves because she wants to. The Union soldiers are burning the slave. Like, it's very kind of like gross. I was like, ew, I don't want to read this.
I will say this:
what
They're in the South.
Yes.
If you go back 100 years, which side do you think they're going to be fighting on?
Sure.
And I think what they were trying to do to mitigate that is make them friends with one of the slaves and treat her not like a slave.
That's sort of my bigger icky problem with this whole story is it's about a bunch of white people in
the South. That's what my issue is. I was like, why do we not see any people of color? That was like
his Emma.
Yeah.
She's black.
But that's like, but also but she's not even a main character. She's just a helpful person that's like very mystical.
I think his servant.
Is she?
She's that's the impression I got.
She's his nanny.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was his grandma.
But it's supposed to be that she was
Did you say mammy or nanny?
I said nanny, but we all know what I was thinking. It's supposed to be that she was friends with his mother.
Right.
Well, she
felt obligated when the dad like peaced out into the bedroom forever.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't it also like I got the impression that she was like maybe the nanny of the mom at one point.
She's definitely older. So I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. And then it's just literally all white people.
And then also when she does her magic, it's like too close to voodoo.
Yes.
To
agreed.
Like,
oh, wait, what happens with her magic? I think I did not pay attention. What does she do?
It's she meets Macon when Ethan follows. They were saying it Amma in the movie. Ethan follows Amma, would have said Amma, especially
too.
Because sharp objects.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And she's like talking to Macon, and it's very much like their magical tribes are different. It's almost like they perform different kinds of magic.
I noticed that.
So it's not like she's not one of them where she's like exactly born with powers. It's almost like I perform rituals and speak with elders kind of
that's
a thing.
Right, because she's a seer.
The time-stopping elders.
Yeah, the grand ones. Or
the great ones. Or,
great ones.
Yeah. The greats, yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
And so that is also icky.
Yeah. And again, part of that it's not even a flashback. It's they are like in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Part of the grossness of that, which is sort of the non-racial grossness of it, which is sort of pervasive throughout this adaptation, is I think all subtlety is lost in a comic adaptation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure the book does a much better job of easing us in and out of that stuff. But here it felt like, and we can talk about this as we go through, but like plot things just happen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm certain that's not the way it is in the book, but it feels like left turns and things are just handed to the protagonist. Like, here, this will move the story forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was this thing that I felt about it where it's like the white characters have magical powers and then Amma has magical black powers.
She had to work
it
for
was
hers,
magical
and they were
Negro
given
thing.
Theirs.
Yeah. It's like she's not born with power like they were. She's just a conduit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
And she seemed more just like mystical, like the way they were portraying her, which
wasn't
it was
so
great.
Like tribal. I didn't like it.
Yeah,
so maybe the book is more nuanced.
And I would imagine, but
who knows?
That's all of that said.
Yeah.
Problematic as some of this stuff is, I actually enjoyed reading this. Like,
I did too.
It was a fast read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could tell the characters apart, mm-hmm. which is not always the case in yeah. this kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I, especially in the first half, I liked the characters. I was rooting for them. I didn't care so much about the plot.
Yeah.
But it kind of didn't matter because it was a fun ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the high school stuff. I liked the Heathers mm-hmm. of it.
I liked the Heathers too. I liked the high school stuff more than like when we got into the, which is silly because usually we're like, yay, more supernatural stuff. But like once it got into like, is she claimed? Is she not yeah. claimed? You have a decision. It is I, your mother. I was like, whoa, all right.
Yeah, it was a deep, and this is the thing I've had to contend with in Hexwives is like, what are the rules of magic in this world?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like there were any.
It was
so,
very unclear.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to figure out. Yeah. And again, I'm sure in the actual prose novel, mm-hmm. we get to understand the rules
more.
And how the turn at the end breaks those rules. But yeah. here it just felt like, oh, okay, this is happening now.
So, yeah. okay, so the rules as I understood them were some people are casters.
Mm-hmm.
And if
which
you,
are witches.
Which are witches. And if you are a caster... You, but then you can also have magic if you're not a caster because that's him.
Right.
Ethan has like magic-ishness.
Never say what the magic is.
And
I was
like,
so irritated by that. And he has powers. Yeah. I was like, what powers?
And then the
powers
moment,
to be her boyfriend?
Well, and the moment where like everyone's like, I told you he had power. I was like, wait, what did we see? Because it's literally nothing. He like runs right. up to her where she's like dreaming.
Well, what I gathered is that, fuck, is it? Serafina.
That's the mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The super dark mom.
Mm-hmm.
She somehow did get a hold of Lena. This is the problem is I'm like, I think this is what happened, but like I read it. I should know what happened.
Yeah.
Got a hold of Lena on Halloween and was putting some kind of hex on her. And
so far, this is a great
Ethan,
tie-in.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
And making her into some sort of wife through a ceremony of marriage. And he could hear her telepathically, like, screaming for help.
What?
Right?
Wait. Is that okay. in this book?
Yes. Wait, no. What yeah. Halloween? What are you talking about?
On fucking Halloween, she's like, I can't hang out with you.
Right.
It's too risky.
Yeah, and so she's
uh-huh. like at home in bed.
And then
and all of a sudden he hears her
crying
screaming
yeah.
in his head.
Right.
So he runs to her,
yeah.
finds them all standing
yeah,
around
in a circle.
Her trying to control
yeah.
the magic.
Uh-huh.
And then throws himself on her body, stopping the magic. And they're all like, I told you he had powers.
Oh, wait, right. And they're like, he protects her.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Maybe that's yeah. his power.
That he's protective. Maybe he like nullifies like outside magic.
Just some man
and
coming in to protect her.
Yeah.
Maybe
there was a little save the girl.
Yeah.
Well,
stuff a lot.
So I disagree.
This is what I'm curious about. You guys have read a lot more of this sort of teen romance
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like on the one hand, that could be problematic,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that this Twilight thing of I can save you and take you away from here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Also, we may never have sex.
Yeah.
Everything is pure.
And then when we do Demon Baby.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Which I think is
which
all
is in
the,
here.
It's
yeah.
all in
yeah.
here. Like, this is definitely a
I'm
child
like, huh?
of Twilight.
Yeah.
But it's also
but
a trope.
Came out the same... No,
of
no, no.
The
Twilight
thing.
Came out in 2005.
Yeah, I think
okay.
early
Never
2000s.
Mind. Sorry, go ahead.
But it's also a trope of this genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
when you pick up something like this book, that's what you're expecting.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like you had no problem with it, but you did have a problem.
Yeah, I just yeah. had a different interpretation, which is that he's just some boob who lives in the South. And then this whole plot is taking place and he's like, can I help? No, I'm just going to get shot at the end and you have to save me. That's how
good.
I interpreted
yeah.
it.
I interpreted it as if
he's not doing shit.
He's not. I mean, he merely his presence, I guess, kind of helps. But then he does. He gets stabbed.
Like he's Bella.
Yeah,
yeah.
In my view.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, she's like the way she's portrayed and because we're in his head, it felt almost not completely, but almost like a Born Perfect yesterday type of trope of like.
I certainly agree with that.
Yeah. Where it was like kind of like, I don't know.
But like literally she's the one who has to save him.
She does save him, but I think that there's like different. How does she save him? She does a thing and then Macon dies?
She makes...
Oh, the book.
She uses her
the moon.
Nature magic. Yes. Right. To make the moon go away. So no choice has to be made.
Yeah, which I'm like, the moon still exists, you guys.
Exactly. Yeah. But also, and here's another thing too, which is like, if we go into the depths of like what is more like female power, like healing and mm-hmm. nature powers are traditionally, like, if we see in these tropes, more of a woman's power and then like destructive powers. But she does have destructive powers in the beginning. So I don't know.
She's
kind of like Phoenix-y. She's kind of like dark Phoenix-y. She's like, oh my God, I can't control the breaks.
Yeah.
Which that's totally what she is.
Would have liked to see more. Like,
I wanted more.
I wasn't getting the metaphor from this book. Like the thing we love about Buffy, right?
Yeah.
Is
it
plays the metaphor so hard, especially in those first seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see, she's 15.
Yeah.
Something bad is going to happen when she turns 16.
Yeah.
I want to see that. But you framing him as the Bella makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like we get, I would have been more intrigued, I think, if this was from her point of view.
I think, it would have been more interesting.
Especially because like.
Although then we really would have disliked him.
She's the only one things are happening to. She's the only one truly.
And
so not only is he the Bella, but he has like no story in this.
He's the Watson.
Yeah, he's like the
he's the Bella Watson,
or like the Nathan or whatever that dude's name is in fucking Great Gatsby, where he's like, let me tell you about my friend Gatsby. Yeah. Everything's happening to Gatsby.
Nick.
There we go. I was like, Nathan. Nick.
What's his name? Nathan or something.
It's like that. Like very.
Yeah, he's a bystander.
Yeah.
Who also happens to be a love interest.
Right.
And that was
powers,
and
question mark.
And I so my theory, and again, I read it, I should know. Because so in this Civil War flashback, we discover that an ancestor of Lena's and an ancestor of Ethan's were in love.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan gets shot by Union soldiers. And Genevieve, Lena's ancestor, why didn't they both have the names?
That was so weird. Yeah.
I know. Was like, why is his name Ethan, but hers isn't Genevieve? Whatever.
Why can't you make my life easy?
Just like, if we're going to do it, do it. You're really half-assing it.
And it would have been cool if like Lena was somehow short for Genevieve or something. So it's not even super.
Because
then you can have it not be super on the nose, but still like make sense for a parallels.
Yeah. Or here's an idea. They don't have the same name.
Yeah. He could just have a different name.
So he gets shot. She has powers, goes to the Book of the Moon.
Yes.
And searches for a spell to prevent his death or bring him back from the dead.
Yes.
Super dark magic. It's not guaranteed, and it will cost her something.
Mm-hmm.
So in the on the not guaranteed front, it doesn't work. He still dies. And in the cost her something, her whole family is cursed forever.
But so, some of them are witches.
Some
of them are monsters. Her uncle is a succubus.
Yeah.
Incubus.
I didn't get.
No offense. No offense. Two succubi out there.
Stop trying to play. We are succubi.
Whatever you identify
whatever.
As.
Yeah.
I didn't get
don't
why
be
some people
bus
were.
Bus binary.
Yeah. I didn't get why people were like, some were casters and some were like non-human.
Right.
And then how is he related to them?
Unless a caster is technically non-human, if that's part of the.
Sure.
The filing system for monsters in this world.
I think that is it. They're technically not human.
Yeah.
Because it's so sad that I was like skipping through scenes in the movie to go, okay, I just want to be clear on this. The mom, Serafina, who steals Mrs. Lincoln's body.
Yeah.
Who's the mom of Ethan's best friend.
Link.
Link. Is played by Emma Thompson, for one thing.
Absolutely.
Yes. Didn't know that.
Never sheds her skin, unlike in the manga. I loved
that was
it.
Cool.
She like cracks
when
in
she
half
splits
and falls.
Out. That was cool.
And
like
then
a
she's just
peel.
Like fucking badass.
Some other
witch.
Lady walks out.
She's like,
out.
It is I.
Yeah.
And we're like, who?
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, I don't know her.
I don't know her.
I need a Shazam for faces.
So in the movie, she doesn't shed that, or at least I again was skimming, maybe she does at some point, but not through the big battle. So there's this whole scene between Serafina wearing Emma Thompson drag and Macon fighting in a church and her saying all these things like, mortals have had their time, they're awful. The typical, very typical speech that a supernatural or alien or robot being says of like, humans are nothing but worms. They're like, they just consume, blah, blah, blah. They're wasting the planet and they've had their time in the sun. So yeah, they're not technically human.
Okay. Yeah, right. Also, yeah, they keep saying like mortals too.
Yeah.
So I assume they're, I mean, they are mortal. Like amortal, maybe? Like they're not, they're like not.
They're neither That's mortal awesome. Nor immortal.
That's great. I'm stealing that.
Go ahead. Amortal. Yeah. So.
Wait, so.
That's that.
So this is a Twilight situation.
Yes.
Where like, I think, she's a monster. He's a human.
And it's like all this like other like warring stuff happening with this supernatural world where you're just like, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. I'm just a human. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I was going to say. So I think maybe any of her direct descendants as opposed to the family is cursed.
Okay.
So exactly.
Wait, so I have a question about like, okay. So we know that if you're bad. Mm-hmm. If you're bad, what is it?
If you're a dark caster.
Okay, dark casters versus
light casters. Light,
white casters.
Light.
I think you're reading between the lines.
I just did such a little shit eating did.
True.
Okay, so if you are a dark caster, your eyes are golden. Mm-hmm. And then if you
For reasons.
In this black and white comic.
God, and they kept saying it. So we only know that their eyes are golden because it's like a circle instead of like colored in.
Yeah.
So my question is, so remember how Genevieve, like she does it and then her friend, the slave, is like, your eyes are gold. And she's like, what? So is she like the first dark caster?
Oh, maybe.
Like, did she create
did
that?
She
like,
create did she create dark casters?
Like, then this fold of like, you could become a dark caster or you could be light.
That was real shitty.
In what you were describing as I think the history, that's what it sounds like to me. I didn't get that from the book, but I'm not a good reader.
Okay.
So.
Well, shouldn't have had you on the show.
Pleasure having you.
No. Yeah. Want to talk about a video game or something?
Kelly can talk about that with you.
Okay. You know what? Can't talk to you.
Okay. We can talk to each other about how we're not good at video games. We found common ground.
They're so hard.
They're so, and I don't care in the end.
Exactly.
So it's funny because I had it in my head of like the curse, but I wasn't even seeing the possibility that what it is she created light and dark casters.
I'm just wondering because like
no, I think yeah, that's right.
Because when she does it, there it's as if no one's ever seen something like that.
Yeah,
you know
so,
what? It's canon.
All right, great. Yeah. It's canon. So we've created like casters. That book, I mean, or maybe
she
didn't recreate it, or you know what I mean? Like maybe
she
it had
found
been dormant
the book and that sort of.
Yeah,
yeah.
Introduced it to this family, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who knows? There's no way to
know.
There's no way.
Look, we can't go online.
We would have had to read the book.
We can't watch the movie.
What do you think the other books are about?
I mean, just like her being maybe bad.
Because then you know, at the end,
she's half bad.
So the whole thing is that this is a thing that will happen on her at the end of her 16th birthday when the moon comes out. Moon magic. And it's not your choice. It's not like a Harry Potter sorting hat, which is shitty and makes not that much sense because in terms of Ridley, it's like she was fine and then all of a sudden she was horrible. It's like, okay.
That seems like when my sister turned 16, she was horrible.
Yeah, and then forever.
Yeah.
That's what happens
Never
to
changed.
Women. Yeah, I guess it's maybe sort of like Buffy, where you just straight up lose your soul.
That is what it seemed like. Because
it does seem like that.
Because remember when Serafina's like trying to convince her? So we learn basically that like for most casters, you can't choose. I mean, you're just like, you're either good or evil when you're 16.
Right.
We learn that something that Macon's been keeping from Lena is that she can choose.
Yeah.
But if she does, it's like, you know, law of thermodynamics where it's like someone has to fucking die. So it's like Macon has to die if she chooses to be good.
Yeah, that plot turn. Like, this is that all was in the weird. Last 20 pages. Oh. Like, that was a bullshit turn of events.
It was very weird. But it's not just Macon. It's anybody who's not a light caster. So
that's in
her
family.
Not specifically a light caster. He's an incubus.
It includes him.
That includes him.
Then why is Serafina still alive afterwards?
Well, everyone
because
knows,
she doesn't
right?
choose.
She doesn't.
Oh,
choose.
She doesn't choose. Then
in
why
end,
does Macon die?
Choose because that was the price she paid for saving Ethan.
You're right. For Ethan. Yeah. Okay. That's so, right. Wait. So, what was the point I was trying to make that I brought up?
What happened? What could possibly happen in the other books?
Oh, right.
So it says at the end, like, the whole thing was 16, and I was like, what the fuck is this? He pulls out his iPod. And there's a song on there called 17 Moons where when he had the dream, in his dream, the song playing was the 16 Moons.
So they just do this for four books?
Probably.
Oh, God,
because at
like
the
18,
end, she doesn't
19.
Choose.
Right.
She has both a yellow eye and a green eye, which I thought was very weird that like, so all the good ones get green eyes. Whatever. So she has a green and a yellow eye, which means she could still choose, or she's both. But then now that he's got a song on his fucking iPod called 17 Moons, does that mean that she has to do this all over again at 17? What the hell?
I don't know.
I guess we need to read the next book.
I think,
I guess we need to read the first book.
Yeah.
It does make you appreciate. And I don't think this is a bad book. I think it's actually very good.
Yeah.
And I imagine the novel is even better, but it does make you appreciate the elegance of like Buffy and Harry Potter and the worlds that were created by these writers that they're so understandable.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, just like simple rules that are clearly articulated to you that then everything else follows.
Right. And there's so much about the characters
and not
the rules. Because the rules are the least interesting part of any of these
There's a lot
stories.
Of this is about the rules.
Yeah.
I think, and it isn't even a knock against the like medium or the writer of this or the artist, but it's like this couldn't possibly capture the book. Because this has its strengths and it doesn't match up. So if you're writing an original story, I think that this format can tell a good story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to adapt a full novel into this format, it's like I don't imagine that it's easy to do one or the other.
Yeah. There's
like a lot of people had problems with Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
With the movie.
Yeah. I think there's something to that. And I'm sure you know this as a writer, that like when you come up with an idea, you have to know where it belongs, what the medium is, right? And there's a reason I decided to pitch Hex Wives as a comic.
Yeah.
And it is a comic. Like it feels like a comic. It felt like that from the conception of it.
Yeah.
Whereas other stuff that like Acker, my writing partner, and I have done together, we've been able to say, well, this feels like it has the legs to be a TV show. It lends itself to that medium. Or this is a 2-hour story. It could only be a movie.
Exactly.
Or this has to be a novel, whatever it is. And that translation process can be so difficult. And clearly it works, but this clearly is best as a novel.
Yes. Or maybe it could have made a good comic book series,
a
normal comic book where it comes out
a serialized
every week.
Story.
Yeah, and it's a very serialized story. But it kind of makes you appreciate both the strengths of a novel and the strengths of a manga. And then you like can fully appreciate the fact that they are their own formats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it may be also why the movie doesn't work is it ought to be a TV show. Like this feels like
a TV show.
It works as a slow burn. Which is why the novel is probably much better and why it would be a TV show as opposed to a movie and trying to cram all this stuff into 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or 200 pages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, like you said, it's Harry Potter, beat the odds of being able to do that. And then Buffy was definitely in the right medium because when it was, it not working as a movie was
There's
an entirely
many
different
reasons why
thing.
It didn't work as a movie.
That was separate. It could have been a movie.
I will
Wait
say,
for our spinoff podcast, everyone.
Yeah.
Actually, she already. I have a Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast.
And an Angel one.
We wrapped. We finished with Angel and everything.
Should we start again?
Yeah, we'll start again.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was Hellmouthy.
I gotta find
yeah,
this.
Yeah, give it a listen.
Yeah, we watched from the very beginning. And then once Angel came around, we watched it in the order that they aired. It was a lot.
I bet.
To do, but it was fun and it was interesting to rewatch it again and like kind of have someone to talk about it with. And
it's also the origin of this podcast because I was a guest. We found out we both like Christopher Pike, decided to start a podcast. So
no
now it's come full circle.
It totally
now
has.
You're starting another Buffy podcast. No, but here we go.
Just gonna keep going.
Who was a guest on this one?
It goes like books, Buffy, just forever.
That's really funny.
Dog.
Good one.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Care Of. What is Care Of? It is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. First, you get up on the website and you take a fun online quiz, and it asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices. It's only 5 minutes, and you can find out what vitamins and supplements will help you the most. 90% of people fall short of FDA-recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient. Take Care Of's quiz and find out all the ways that you're not doing things right. But don't worry, Care Of will help you get back on track. The vitamins are delivered right to your door in personalized, easy-to-remember daily packs, which are perfect for on-the-go lifestyles. They put honesty first. They provide all the research that supports each of their recommendations backed by a scientific advisory board. I love transparency, and I love knowing what I'm putting in my body and why. So getting that brochure when you receive your vitamins is super cool and super important, because then you can be like, why am I taking this? Oh, this helps with this. This helps with that. From my quiz, I found out, girl, you need to be less stressed out. You are burned out all the time. You live an active lifestyle, so you need to make sure that you are nutritioned properly so that your workouts are actually helpful to your body and not just wasting your time. Also, you're so burned out that your short-term memory is out of whack. So those are the things that were my concerns. And thankfully, I got to get the vitamins that would help address those things. But what's good for you is good for everyone, because a portion of every sale goes towards the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. You can track your progress with the Care Of app and earn rewards when you remember to take your vitamins. Aw, gamifying. I need every type of gamifying for everything I do, otherwise I don't do it. Your monthly subscription box can be easily modified at any time. There are vegan and vegetarian supplement options available. They offer pre- and postnatal supplements with accompanying research that help mothers and babies alike stay their healthiest. They also got these delicious nutrient-packed quick stick powders that you can add to your monthly delivery for an extra easy boost whenever you need it. The ones that I got were like a pick-me-up one and one that was like chill out for when I'm like, the world is too much right now, because that's all we're thinking all the time. I love Care Of. It's very convenient. It comes right to my door. I'm so happy that I have a subscription to them. Okay, let's get you on board. Here we go. 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter promo code TEENCREEPS. That's one word, TEENCREEPS. Again, that's takecareof.com, TAKECAREOF.com, and enter code TEENCREEPS. You are all beautiful and wonderful people, and you deserve to take care of yourselves, ya creeps. So stick some vitamins in your bod, so that you can feel better, because the world sucks and you're wonderful. So treat yourself with some dang vitamins from Care Of. And now back to the show.
I want to talk about something that I thought was very successful in this book. And I thought the character of Ridley. The stuff with her, I fucking loved. And I
wanted
thought
more Ridley.
The panels where in the part where she is using her, so basically she has like almost like purple man like powers, where she like can make you like do stuff.
She's a siren.
Yeah. Which, so okay, so is she a caster then? Because then she is still a caster.
This is what I found.
Is there a taxonomy?
Okay. They should have a glossary for this.
Here's what it is. They're all casters, But they all have different strengths.
Well, they are. But then remember, he was like, I'm not a caster. I'm a succubus.
Yeah, because he's not.
Sorry. Oh, my God.
Well, he's straight up not a caster.
Right.
Being an incubus isn't his like caster talent.
Right.
He's just straight up an incubus. He's not a caster.
I guess the thing that's confusing is they use the word siren, which is a creature.
Right.
So then it's like, well, is that.
Yeah. But she just has a power of seduction.
Yeah, she can basically influence you to do anything she wants.
So that's sort of interchangeable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she, like, rides into town, like, on a cloud of chaos.
Yes.
Like, comes in, is like, what's up? I'm sucking on a lollipop, and I'm wearing some sunglasses.
Oh, I'll come back to that because you're making a point.
Oh, sure. So she is pretty much always seen sucking on this lollipop.
It's fucking crazy.
It's like a million so licks. Bizarre. It's not going away. It's probably just like a marble. So she's sucking on this marble.
She's lying. It's a fucking
she's
marble.
She's fucking lying. She's making us believe it's a lollipop.
I think she doesn't know.
She
someone
doesn't know.
Gave her a marble. Yeah, someone gave her. But it's a lollipop.
And she's like, I like it.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. Long connection to this stick.
So I loved her character. I loved like that she does this whole thing where she for Lena's birthday, she like brainwashes the entire town into thinking they're friends with her. So that way, because she's been an outcast.
Very funny.
And so she like sets up this party where all of them are like, yay, we can't wait for Lena's birthday. And Lena's like, oh my God, I've always wanted something like this. But then she's also a dark caster, which we learned because she never takes off her sunglasses. Her eyes are gold.
Oh, I did not even get that.
Yeah, I was like, why is she always wearing sunglasses? Eyes are gold.
I thought she was just super cool.
She is very cool. She drives a convertible. She sucks a lollipop and she wears sunglasses.
And she has power over everyone.
She has power over
fonts.
Hey. But there's the moment that I really loved, and I loved that it was done as like still panels, mm-hmm. was when, so she's convinced Ethan's dad to jump off of a balcony.
That's a really
that
good
was a
scene.
Really good scene.
It was a really fucking
most
good scene.
And honestly, emotional scene.
Yes. I saw it coming.
No, I didn't
know.
No,
me neither. And so she's like,
but
doing,
it was still in character.
Yes, totally.
And again, Twilight.
Is that right?
Is it?
He, remember, James makes Bella think that he has his mom.
Oh, yeah.
Has her mom, sorry.
What is happening?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Everything after Twilight is a descendant of Twilight.
Yeah.
Even the Descendants?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
They go to Hawaii.
I almost had. Jim Rash actually got the idea from Twilight.
I was thinking
Twilight.
About the Disney Channel series of films.
Oh. I was thinking about the very
of
sad
course.
Movie.
I thought you were just making a joke about the movie in
kind
Hawaii.
Of both.
Cool.
So she's been sucking this lollipop the whole time. She convinces the dad, like, you got to jump off this building. And both Link and Ethan come. And
Link, who's in love with
Link
Ridley.
Is absolutely in love with Ridley. And Ethan realizes that, like, whatever influence that she's put on Link, the feelings he has for her are above and beyond. Like, mm-hmm. he truly
yeah.
loves her.
But then also, does she loves him?
I think she
it
does.
It seems like it.
I think
yeah.
she does.
I think that's where it plays out.
Because he just whispers something in her ear. Yeah.
Which
we don't
Ethan
know what
does
it
not
is.
Hear, so we don't know.
Right. Yeah. And then she lets his dad go.
Yeah. She like takes the lollipop out of her mouth, tosses it, and it breaks on the ground. And she's like, fuck it. I don't care. And then like leaves.
So symbolic.
Which like I.
Which was really well done though.
I think really heavy handed symbolism works in graphic novels.
100%.
Yeah. I had
really
no
well.
Problem with
like,
that.
Like stuff that's like. Oh, like knocking you over the head, like in the part with in Astonishing X-Men, which is one of my favorite parts of a comic, is when
in the current run
in Joss Whedon's run,
oh, okay.
Was when Kitty Pryde is like oh you thought that like you something about like you thought I was like some like feisty piece of shit whatever.
Thought I was some feisty
like,
piece of shit. Classic Joss Whedon dialogue.
And she's like about
so quippy.
She's basically like in the inside of this hollow bullet that's like gonna hit the earth.
Uh-huh.
She's phasing the bullet so that it does not hit the earth. So she's like losing like consciousness,
herself.
But she's
yeah.
like also communicating with Emma Frost, who's her like mortal enemy. And she's like, are you surprised? And she's like, astonished, Miss Pride. And that's like the titular
yeah.
thing. And it's so cheesy, but I love it,
but it works.
In a fucking comic
well,
book. I love
it's
that.
It's soap opera, right? Like
yeah.
that's what you get away with in a comic that is particular to that medium and to
I mean, even opera and soap opera, but like you get to be bigger than life. You get to, you know, space is at a premium in, in a comic book. There's not a lot of real estate. You have to sort of, you have to say the strongest thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, I remember that now that you describe it. Like, that's an amazing moment.
Yeah. And then also sometimes, like, if you're just really fucking good at that, who cares?
Yeah,
it's still satisfying.
If you can pull it off emotionally, which that scene that you're describing in Beautiful Creatures does in a way that I don't think anything else in this book does.
No, that was the most resonant scene in this entire piece.
That was the moment where I cared about what was going
on. About the characters.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm genuinely like feeling something for Ethan right now. Yeah. I'm genuinely scared that he's going to jump off this building.
And
we hadn't even seen the dad
once.
We see him at the dinner table.
But he's just a sad
zombie guy. Yeah. Which is why I didn't remember, I guess.
He's forgettable. But I think Link is also a great character.
So
and that
good
feels
there.
Like such, like, he's a funny, likable, and not very deep character, but he's well drawn. So you like him. And then you get hit with this scene where he's given depth all of a sudden.
Yeah, and he
and
really
like, oh, this matters.
Yeah, his character matters not just as like a best friend role, but like to the story.
Totally. It's really well
and
executed.
And matters to Ridley.
Yeah.
Like, and that is so like...
Who has a similar thing where she just seems like a shallow character, but then you get this... It's Cordelia. You know,
yeah, it's definitely, and it's when it's the moment when Cordelia, and I'm thinking specifically of when Buffy's had that shit fucking day and everyone's being shitty to her, and Angel's just been, I think it's season two, Angel's been like terrorizing her and whatever, and Cordelia comes in and like says something bitchy to Buffy, and then Buffy's like, can you give me a ride home? And she's like, of course.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that moment where you're like,
there's a human here.
Yeah.
I also really like another very similar Cordelia Buffy moment with episode one of season two when Buffy's being a giant bitch to everyone.
When she was
And Cordelia's like, this isn't a good look for you. This is my thing.
Yeah. Totally. So like, I liked this, that we then were like, oh, okay. It isn't just like the bad girl that rolls in a convertible and like the silly jock.
Yeah. That reminds me of what I wanted to say. Why are all the girls so trashy?
Because
the girls are dressed so trash. But like they're also super Christian. So wouldn't they be more like Cardigan?
No.
I'm just very curious.
Doing it up the butt to not break your fucking hymen is like, that's like the version of their outfits.
I feel like that actually belongs with the cardigan type and not with them because they just straight up have sex.
I'm just like picturing like, it's like similar to Sharp Objects. Like the people that live in that town are like very holier than thou, but like dress like Wet Seal.
It's just like, it's those camisoles where the bra is also showing and the skirts are like so short. I'm just wondering if this was an artist choice or a novel or taken from the novel, because then when you watch the movie, not like that at all.
Well, also, okay, this was 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That look was in.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was an in look, like skanky, trashy look was like in. Like I dressed like that. Like I was,
gross.
I was like,
we all did.
We all wore. Like,
how do you expect the boys to control themselves?
Here's the thing. I didn't want them to. I was like, come and get me, baby.
Oh, sexual desire. Gross.
But yeah, so that might have been like a mix of like everyone in this town is trashy and it was the look.
Yeah, maybe.
I do wonder how much the writers talked to the artist.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In making this, because the book was already out and probably successful by the time they decided to make this adaptation.
Yeah.
So
I just really, I wonder if it was a choice in here, because like either way is valid. Like I see your point. I would, if I were just reading the type of characters, think that they weren't dressing that way, that they had a different style. So I'm just wondering if it was the artist or the writers.
Mm.
And they were a little hard to differentiate.
Yeah.
But
the Heathers?
That may be the point.
Mm-hmm. Well, the the trouble was when Ridley came on the scene, yes, and she was dressed exactly like that.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
But I just like she had that lollipop and sunglasses.
She had that lollipop
and a convertible.
And maybe pigtails. I'm not totally sure.
I could see that, but I don't think she did.
Who knows? There's no way to tell. It's right in front of me, and it's very easy to flip to a page in a manga.
So
but
heavy.
Okay, so generally, okay, so like skeleton-wise, what happened in this story is Ethan.
Yeah, let's get to that.
Let's do this really quick.
Actually, can I see the back of your version, then?
Is it the same?
There's a ton of information on.
Is there?
Is there more information?
No, well, hold on. I think yours has. Never mind.
I'd like you to know I had to order this three times from Amazon.com.
Really?
Because your show is so popular that it keeps kept selling out.
I'm sure.
It may be out of print, so you had to get it from
I got Kindle. Hashtag Kindle.
All right, must be nice.
Well, we will reimburse you for the book because that's what we do.
It's all right.
Okay, really quick, let me see how quick I can do this.
Okay.
Ethan, he dreams about a girl.
I love that word. What time is it? An hour and 13 minutes.
3 hours in.
Yeah. Don't worry. Okay, ready? This is, we'll put in the notes. First, listen to this part and then go back and listen to the beginning.
Hold on. You have an editor.
No. It's too much work for Brett. We can't do this for them. Okay, ready? Ethan, he lays in a bed. Oh my gosh, I woke up. There's a girl I'm dreaming about, but it feels like I know her. Do I love her? There's dirt on my bed that's never really explained.
I can't see her face. There's just black hair everywhere.
Yeah, I just know that she has black hair and I love her. Okay, going to school.
We've all been there.
She smells like lemon and rosemary.
I'm going to go to school. Oh, there's my friend Link. He plays in a band. He's funny and he's a jock. I'm a jock. I secretly like reading. I don't tell anybody because everybody at my school is a rube. Okay, I'm at school.
Oh my God. We got to talk about that part.
Everyone is so awful and mean and shallow and terrible. And all the girls are blonde and they all dress really like spaghetti strap-ish. Okay, now, oh my gosh, there's a new girl at school. She's so beautiful. Everyone thinks that she's like pale and weird and gross and witchy.
And like, instead of spaghetti straps and being blonde, she has black hair and wears giant skirts and Converse.
Yeah, she's like Urban Outfitters witchy. So then, oh my gosh, not only that, she is Ravenwood's niece. He's a creepy guy who never leaves his house. No one knows what he looks like, but his house seems haunted.
He's a Boo Radley,
which I know.
They name checked him.
I know, which I know because I read books. I love To Kill a Mockingbird. Oh my gosh. She just said her favorite book is To Kill a Mockingbird. Are we meant to be? Okay.
Oh my God. No one else in the world has read To Kill a Mockingbird. Again, we can come back to that part.
You know, everyone thinks reading is so dumb.
Oh my fucking God.
Everybody bullies her. Can't believe this. Oh my gosh. She's getting mad. All the windows are breaking. She runs away. Everybody in the town hates her for being too violent, and they're weirded out by her. I'm going to go follow her. We have a connection. What's this? This is a locket. Oh my gosh. Now we're like in the past. We're Union people. We're Confederate people. Yep.
We're wearing gray.
It's probably hard to tell because this isn't black and white. Okay. The guy got shot by a Union soldier. Oh God, I got to save him. Oh, but now I get this book, and my friend the slave is telling me, Ivy is telling me, don't read the book because she's wise, and there's like black mysticism here, which is really not great to read in 2018, or 2009 for the matter. I'm gonna read from the book. Oh no, I'm Genevieve. I'm gonna give up something from me. He's coming back for a second. Oh no, he's dead. My eyes are gold. I maybe started the evil thing for the whole rest of all my descendants. Back to the Future.
Marty McFly. He wakes up in bed.
Ethan is like, I'm going to go to her house. Oh my God, I'm meeting her uncle. He's not what I thought. He's like so handsome. He could be a movie star. He's a succubus. I'm meeting the rest of the family.
Incubus.
Everybody in the rest of the family is like different varieties of magic because they're all casters.
We got a healer. We got a Sybil. We got a Ridley. We got a, by the way, I am interchangeably using names and powers.
Yes. They all can either heal or make things look different or be a siren or whatever. They want me to stay away from her because they're like, well, we have to protect her and they're not supposed to be together. But we're going to be together. And then
there's a whole middle of a book.
There's a whole middle of a book. I don't really remember.
A middle of a book takes place. They're trying to figure out how to break the curse.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, and then lots they can't, of trying to figure out how to.
It's the end.
They go to the library. They're like, we got to come back during the right hours. They leave.
For the secret library.
For the secret library. The Castor's
library. They're only open on Labor Day.
They're only open on Labor Day.
That was such a weird rule.
Which also, we're recording
they're
on Labor
only
Day weekend.
Open on bank holidays. Bank holidays. Yeah. It is specifically said.
Yeah.
Yes. So funny.
So they go in, they're like, we're doing all this research. We can't find the book. Where's the book? Oh my gosh, maybe the book is buried. The book is buried with Genevieve. Let's dig up Genevieve. Hi, Genevieve, you're a ghost. You're outside your grave and you want us to dig up the book.
Hi, so nice to meet you.
Here's
hi,
so nice
book.
To meet you. We get the book. Oh, you're gone. Now we're gonna read the book.
Read
we don't
book.
Get what's in the book.
It's
oh,
in other language.
I'm Ethan. I'm touching the book. Ouchie, ouchie. I'm not supposed to touch the book. It hurts my fingers.
right.
And oh, he's like,
and also when he touches her, it
yeah.
hurts his fingers.
Yeah, yeah, he's yeah. like, oh, it's hurting my fingers.
Oh, ow, electricity when we kiss. Literal.
Yeah. And he's like, this is kind of nice, but I don't know what it's like to do more with you because we're being really slow with how we move. And then
also, it takes us 2/3 of the way through to actually say we're boyfriend and girlfriend.
When they finally have that conversation, I was like,
also, as soon as Ridley shows up and she's bothering Ethan, Lena goes, stay away from my boyfriend. And then suddenly 2/3 of the
yeah.
book, they're like, he's yeah. like, blah, 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 my girlfriend. And she goes, is that what I am?
And also like in their telepathy. Like,
do you yeah. want to be?
Oh, and then
way too late, you guys.
So cliche.
They become boyfriend, girlfriend. She keeps writing like different numbers on her hand because it's like how many days right. left until she turns 16.
That was cute. I could see that working in
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, that it's like a very interesting device. Mm-hmm. Then she's like, I can't be with you. And he's like, what? And I'm like, what? And yeah. she's like, I have to go.
And we're all like, what?
And she leaves. And then,
Ben's like, what?
Yeah. We all were like, what? For no reason at all, Brett's like, what? So then, but then she gets over it really fast. And she's like, I'm going to make snow for you. And then he's like, wow, this is how you say you're sorry. And she's like, yeah. And then they're
just
like,
just wanted
kiss.
To make peace. And it's like, huh? Okay.
Okay. I guess.
That was a rough two pages. That
yeah.
You had.
Like, yeah.
It was literally wow. like two pages.
Yeah. It was so hard to be apart for that page. Those pages.
But the way they were, it was very. And I know we've talked about Buffy a lot. It was very season two Buffy Angel. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
faded,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Like so doomed. Yeah. Like teen
we
dream.
We can't be together.
Yeah.
But without the subtlety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's
or time.
Right.
Or.
But I think,
feeling.
Again, yeah. if we had been in her head, I think that would have played where she was like, I have to back off from you.
Yeah.
Because it
or
theoretically
in the novel.
Works. Yeah. Or in the novel.
Yeah.
I think
but like, yeah,
the,
no reason is given. All we get later is, I wanted to keep you out of this. And it's like, you already wanted that. We all knew that.
And right. that was always a thing.
Yeah.
Like, so she's like, anyway. But now we're back together. Okay, but now.
Let's spend as much time together as possible. It's almost my birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday.
Shake your booty.
Shake your booty. Shake
your
tail
party.
Feather.
That was a weird part.
Yeah.
Again, we're all like, what?
Wait, so what happens there? It's her birthday.
Then the last 20 pages are like, oh, here's everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, here are
and
all
then
the
it's
made
like,
up rules
oh,
we didn't
fuck,
tell
it's your
you
birthday.
About.
Ridley was... shows up. Hey, I started a rave for you.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. And then we
it's
see the rave, and it's not a rave.
It's just people standing around.
It's a fucking yeah. barbecue.
And she's like, I want to have a date.
It's a barbecue.
That's what
it's
is.
A southern-ass barbecue.
It is. I'm hungry.
Me too. I just right. had Swiss cheese and turkey when I woke up. I was running late.
What are we doing?
I was hoping Brett bought pastries again, but he didn't.
Again?
No, he didn't. I know.
Hold on. Well,
the other
let's
time,
pause this.
I know. The other
us.
Times
he like,
he's bought
Ben's
pastries,
coming.
And I was like,
yeah.
Really?
You know what? He's not like,
let me tell you something.
It's not like required. He shouldn't, it's not like he said he would always have pastries ready. I was just like hoping because I'm
but
hungry.
But you had them at one time.
No, yeah. And he texted yeah. us and he was like, I just uh-huh. want you to know usually I get uh-huh. pastries, but Ben's coming.
Interesting.
And he's like, you do the math.
Last
he said
weekend
that.
I was
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. knocked out three podcasts.
Wow.
I was here from like 10 to 5
wow.
o'clock or something.
So
did anybody, did anyone bring pastries?
I bet what it is. I bet what it is because you kept calling him Brett when his name is Bread.
Bread.
Oh my God.
That's the thing. He was
that's
like,
so
the day he calls me Bread, I will get him another type of
by
bread,
my
which is
name.
Yeah.
Also, I just realized that this joke came from before we started recording. Yeah. But
you know what? Leave it in.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
If you really wanted to know, you guys would have shown up at the studio. You don't love us as much as you think you do.
Oh, yeah. We learn all the rules.
Kind of. They're thrown at
us. They say them.
They
say some of them. And then there's a fight. Ethan gets stabbed by, is it Snake Arms? Or is it?
Yeah, there's a He-Man character in it also.
I think it's Serafina. Oh, wait, so that's her power, is to hold a knife?
It's a good power.
That is so fucking dumb, dude.
No, it must be Larkin. Also, I did not understand Larkin.
Oh, no, it's the other
guy. I thought Larkin was friends with Ethan this whole time.
Who is Larkin?
Larkin, dude.
Larkin shows up at the end and I was like, who the fuck is that?
It's his brother. It's Macon's brother, right?
Oh, shows but up. Why does he seem so young and hot?
Nowhere.
It's Ridley's brother, which I learned from by watching the movie.
Okay. No, I think they may have simplified
but
it for
I
the
thought
movie.
Larkin was in... I thought Larkin was in school with them.
No,
I thought his friends were Link and Larkin.
No, he only has one friend.
Yeah. I thought
Link.
He had two friends.
No, Link.
What? Just oh, my Link. God. I told you I had trouble reading.
No, there's but, this guy who shows up at
no,
the end.
No, there's a guy who shows up at the end. He has different hair than Snake Arms. And I was like, who is that?
I think, I'm telling you, I think
it was Larkin.
Incubus's brother.
What?
Yeah, because he talks about him. And he's like, yeah, we're both incubi, but he's a bad incubi.
Right.
Incubus.
Oh, he drinks blood. He's the one who bites. He bites Macon.
And he throws a dog.
When he threw the dog, I was shocked about the dog. Because I was like,
how dare you?
Boo. The dog is named Boo.
Every fucking
time.
Right.
Wait, the dog is named Boo?
The dog is named Boo.
Boo Radley.
That's on the nose in a lot of ways.
That's
it's
a little
it's
much.
Also, it's not. It's not even. I'm not sure you can classify it as being on the nose when it's like, he has no qualities of Boo Radley. Why is everybody so fucking obsessed with To Kill a Mockingbird?
Because it's
not
the
like,
South.
It's the South.
Like, but it's not like it has a connection to the story. And yet they call the uncle Boo Radley. They're both reading the book. They're reading the book in school. Then the dog's name turns out to be Boo. It's like, why?
I got it.
What?
Oh, I had to look it up.
Oh,
his name is
you.
Hunting.
Why did we
this?
Think Larkin? Larkin.
Yeah. Hunting is the brother
Ravenwood
who shows up right
at
the end.
Is a ruthless incubus and Macon's brother. Unlike Macon, he feeds on blood.
Oh,
which
right.
Gives
also,
him more
then he's a vampire.
What the fuck is
no,
up?
They're not vampires. She wants
that's,
to make that very
that's
clear.
What I was about to
but
say.
I was like,
what?
Are.
He asks Macon, when he discovers he's been in his room eating his dreams, which is what an incubus kind of does, but he's like, are you a vampire? He goes, no, don't be stupid.
Right.
And it's like, I don't drink blood. I was like, but so wait, there you are a vampire. You just don't drink blood. It's the same as with Lena. She's like, witch is so stereotype. I'm a caster. It's like, okay, but bitch, you are a witch.
Yeah.
Witch
and
is sort
bitch,
of a slur.
You are a vampire.
Yeah,
yeah
the vampire
she's like,
thing.
That's a slur.
Also, like, okay. I didn't know there were incubi that drank blood. Like, that seemed like such a, like, we're just going to put that name on it. I'm going to look it up.
I don't think that's, I don't think that's
fuck
a
is
canonical
Larkin.
Incubus.
I felt like he had two friends this whole book, but Link was the better friend.
He's not, there's no Larkin listed in the character.
Wow, what the fuck? I think Link just looks different sometimes. Is he wearing a hat sometimes?
But then he's, all of a sudden, they're like, Larkin? You're dark too. And he's like, yeah, why not?
I think that's Snake Arms.
That's
yes.
Snake Arms.
Snake Arms guy.
He's evil. He's,
it turns out he's evil.
He was glamoring
he
his eyes.
He shows up.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And
he shows up with the other nice caster family. Right.
And why was
girl.
There any question that he was evil?
Also, an incubus
has
sex with you while you're sleeping.
Snake.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did one of our earliest Thrilling Adventure Hour episodes of Beyond Belief, where it was like the thin man with ghosts was about succubi.
Yeah,
man
and
with ghosts.
The idea of like how stupid these monsters are. Yeah. Where like they just show up and seduce you. Like they're just trying to get laid. Like
yeah,
that's all
that's
these
it,
monsters
yeah.
try to do.
That's their great
and they do it at night.
Right.
Yeah.
So then what the fuck is Uncle Macon doing?
The end?
He's in Ethan's room.
Yeah, I know.
Eating the parts of his dreams that would make it clear who Lena is.
Is that right?
Yeah. He was like, "That's why I can't remember my dreams."
And he's like, "I pick and chose which parts of your dreams I wanted to eat."
There's also, he's so wearing like a smoking jacket in there. I was dude, what? Like, wear clothes.
You're a Dracula.
You're in a 15-year-old's room. Stop.
Yeah. You're acting like a straight-up Dracula.
When he wakes up and sees him there, he's like, okay, are you a vampire or a perv or both?
And he's like, actually, neither. I'm an incubus and I'm eating your dreams, but my brother drinks blood, but don't say that he's a...
Also a little bit of a perv.
He's an incubus.
Yeah. He's a perv.
I don't know. It's such a convoluted history and backstory to this.
Yeah, the mythology, I guess, is not coming through in this version.
No. Yeah. No.
That's, I think, probably the biggest loss in the translation from novel to manga.
Still, I feel like we did a good job on this book report. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we're doing a book report.
Yeah. We call them out loud book reports. There are other ways to say it? No.
No. Yeah, I think also maybe a little more, I know that we said that with like inherent in the genre of manga, subtlety doesn't pay off. But I think if we had like learned everything we learned in the last 15 pages, throughout the book, I think it would have been more digestible.
Yeah. There's a doling out of plot that could have happened, which I assume happens in the novel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the way that even like Harry Potter does, like she'll sort of sprinkle hints as to what could happen throughout, that just didn't play in this.
No.
But it is certainly capable of subtlety. Yeah. Like the scene we talked about with Ridley is like a really subtle emotional scene. And there are a couple moments like that, even when Ethan and Lena are dancing. Mm-hmm. Like it's really beautifully drawn and you get the intimacy between these two characters. So there's a way to put that plot stuff in throughout, and I'm not sure why it wasn't there.
It just felt like it was being told to us.
Yeah.
Yes. It doesn't feel lived in
very rushed
at all. We are not able to live in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That said, I'm going to read all the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what happens.
And the manga. I'm not even going to try with the novel.
I got to know what happens.
Now I have to read the fucking book.
After I finished it yesterday.
There's too many books to read.
I was like, do I just download the next one? Do I just come having read the entire fucking series and be like, guys, listen up. I know everything about this series. Yeah.
But also I still have questions because it was all in pictures.
Yeah, I'd be like, can you guys tell me why in book 5?
But I can tell you this happened.
But that was Beautiful Creatures. Even though we had a lot of complaints with it, I do agree. I enjoyed reading this.
Yeah.
And I would say if you enjoy manga and if you enjoy graphic novels and you haven't ever read manga, read it. I thought it was fun.
It's a fun, easy read. There's a lot to like about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Or if you like the story, read the book.
Yeah.
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 I think we can all agree, don't see the movie.
It's fine.
I think I'll watch it. It's on Netflix.
That's pretty good.
I'll watch it and see how I feel.
I saw snippets, so I can't give you a full picture. But what I saw, I was like, this is done.
It's got Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
There you go.
She can't
go
wrong.
There you go. She's always good.
Yeah.
I think Viola Davis is in it.
Viola Davis is Amma.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, great. Oh, and Jeremy Irons.
That's good casting.
It is Megan.
That's pretty good.
And I was like, oh shit.
This is
I wanted to see who was playing all the characters.
Yeah. I want to see some screenshots from the movie now.
Emma, what's her face? Is Ridley. She's on Shameless.
Oh yes, Emmy Rossum. Great casting.
Emmy Rossum. She's fantastic. Really, she is living it up in the movie, and she is very good.
I've seen it.
I'm looking at pictures of Jeremy Irons in the movie. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
But that was a part of the movie that I was like, this has nothing to do with the manga, but I want to bring it up anyway. They all have a different Southern accent, which happens so often.
Most of them are English.
Yeah.
Too many of them are English. Yeah. And so Ethan's accent is just straight up like generic, like Alabama Southern, even though this does not take place in Alabama. Macon's accent is like High Savannah, Georgia, or something,
nice.
Where he sounds like that character that we all have and do at every moment where we pretend that we're a Southern lawyer in a very hot courtroom.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
We all have that character. where it's like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Yeah.
He has that accent.
Character has suspenders.
Yes.
Do we have any?
And he takes off his straw hat and fans himself with it, takes out a handkerchief, dabs his little forehead.
Do we have any, like, Tennessee? Do we have any?
Probably. At that point, I'm just hearing, like, super low. And especially the contrast of Ethan and Macon, where Macon's family fucking founded the town. And Ethan has lived there his whole life. I was like, you guys should have the same accent.
Yeah.
So most of the actors are just doing generic improv scene Southern.
Great.
They hired no dialect coaches for this movie.
It does not seem like it.
They broke the bank on Jeremy Irons and they're like, Thompson.
Yeah. He got no money left.
Or the dialogue coach is listening to this at home and crying.
And they're like, I worked so hard.
I really am trying.
Yep. Well, you know what? Shout out to you,
truly.
Jennifer Simons.
Yeah. I'm sure you did your best.
We know you did your best.
She is the beautiful creature.
She's the beautifulest.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing the show.
Thank you.
So fun.
We really appreciate that you read a non-normal book for our show.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry you had to go through this.
No, I enjoyed myself.
I chose it. Everybody should know that I chose it. And I did very much enjoy myself. I knew that the podcast was still going to be super fun.
This was. Thank you.
I was just like, damn, I just want to be reading the book. I want to be reading the book. It's such an intriguing story.
No one's stopping you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess time.
Time.
Do you bother reading a book when you can't talk about it on the podcast?
We're not recording for a while, Lindsay. You got some time.
I'm going to be in Japan.
You're riding a plane. Read a book.
Too many books. I'm sick of YA. I don't want to do it anymore.
I can't believe I broke the podcast.
No. I've said that many times before.
I just mean the second day of our podcast.
If I'm choosing a book to read, I want it to be like a departure from what I'm always reading. Yeah.
I'm all about that YA.
Give me that YA. Every single person you have on writer's panel is, I'm a comedy writer, so I don't want to watch comedy. I'm a drama writer, so I only want to watch comedy. Sure. It's like that.
I'm a narcissist. More. All I do is listen to this podcast.
Over and over. I subscribe to one podcast.
It is mine.
I keep reading YA novels.
When I'm not talking about them on the podcast, I sit at home and I talk to my cats.
I do about YA. Oh, I should talk to them about YA. See how they feel. Noodle in LH. This one's for you. Do you have anything that you want to plug, Ben?
Boy, do I.
Mm,
listen, if you love witches. And
I do.
Who doesn't? Mm-hmm. Please check out Hexwives. It's out on Halloween. When does this podcast plop?
A week and a half from now?
Before the end of September.
Yeah.
So here's the thing I've learned about comic books in working on this comic and a couple others previous to this. Pre-orders are very important.
Yes.
So here's the story of Hexwives. The gist of it is, what if Samantha Stevens from Bewitched didn't know that she was a super powerful witch and was being held as a suburban housewife against her will. So the first arc is about her figuring it
out.
It's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
I want to read it now.
It's about the insidious ways that men control women. The artist is amazing. The colorist is amazing. They are making me look good. if this sounds appealing to you, listener, or anyone in this room,
I will be ordering
Please call up your local comic book shop and say, I would like a copy of Hexwives. It's out on Halloween. And then they order it for you. You go in, you pay $4, and you get it on Halloween.
Awesome.
Yay. That's so awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. So make sure you guys check that out, because if you don't, I will never talk to you again.
Wow. I will never talk at you in this podcast again.
Yep.
Podcast
over. I need to see your receipt.
I need the receipt, yeah.
Tweet your receipts at us, and then we'll continue.
I hope they do.
And where can people find you online?
They can find me online. On Twitter, at Ben Blacker. It's my name.
Cool. Wow.
Cool.
Impressive.
That's very impressive. Yeah. Could not get at Kelly Nugent.
I got Lindsay Kaytai. Yeah. There's only one other, and she's young. So have fun with that, Lindsay Kaytai.
You fucking dumbass baby.
I think she's like 11.
Oh, extra dumbass baby. You're not
she's your target audience.
Fuck that.
Our target audience is 35-year-old librarians. Thank you.
That's why I love this show.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you are reading along with us, the next.
Oh, it's Lost Boys the movie.
Yeah.
We departured all over the fucking place.
Yeah, but this will be fun.
Is this a novelization?
No, we're doing in the movie.
We're just watching the movie.
What?
We wanted to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I've never seen that movie. So this will be a big... I know. I already know, Ben.
We don't need this from you.
We honestly, you're attacking us on home turf.
Okay, I'm good. Excited.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Yeah. I think like...
It's not great.
Okay,
great. We know that.
No. Can't wait. So we're going to be talking about that next time. So if you are reading / now watching along with us, watch that movie. I can't tell you where to find it because
it's on Netflix, bitch.
There we go. There you go. Very easy. Find it on Netflix. Everybody has it. Everybody knows somebody that has a password.
Please enjoy our naked attempt to draw in different types of listeners.
Yes, we're trying to boost those numbers, baby. And if you want to help us boost those numbers, you can always leave us a kindly review on Apple Podcasts. That is the thing that helps us the most, actually writing a review. I know it sounds really horrible to have to sit there and write something, but it will take you two sentences. And it will help us tremendously. Mm-hmm. You can also follow our show on social media at Teen Creeps Pod. That's what it is on everything.
Yep. And if you'd like to support the show, not just with your ears, but with money, you can go to patreon.com/teencreeps. Thank you to all of our current Patreon subscribers. We love you. You are producers of the podcast.
We really, really do appreciate it. And we got some fun content up on there. So
treat
your ears, dude.
So much fun content.
So much content.
If you love content, we got content.
If you love content, you are a content consumer. And you might be a content consumer if. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will chat with you next week.
Yep. Keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com. And subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news.